The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Yoav Drian.
This is Siman Tzadi Ches, Sifim Lamed Aleph to Lamed Zayin, 31 to 37. Okay, so we were talking about things that are prohibited on Yom Tov, and despite the fact that it is permitted to use fire on Yom Tov, one is permitted and perhaps even enjoined to have fires lit and to have, you know, and also to have, you know, freshly cooked food and things like that. But one is not allowed to start the actual fire, right? Starting the fire is something which is not permissible. Like we've discussed in the previous shiurim on this siman, the problem with some of the things that are permitted on Yom Tov is that one may not engage in activity that one could have done before Yom Tov without any negative effect. Meaning that if, for example, I want to prepare something for Yom Tov. If I could have prepared it ahead of time and did not, then I'm not allowed to do that on Yom Tov. That malacha is not permitted. Specifically in our case, Lamed Aleph 31, Asur Lehotzi Esh. One may not literally take out fire, or one may not create fire, Bein Me'even. Whether it is from a stone or a flint, you know, like you spark things together, bein mischuchis, or you know, with a glass that he puts here in the in parentheses, burn glass or bren glas, right, I guess that's what they called it in Yiddish, bein meitzim hanaasim begofris, or the most common, and it's probably the exclusive way that we do nowadays, which is from little wood chips that are then coated in gofris, pitch, or not really pitch, it basically matches, right, as it has in parentheses there, gafurim, or tindalelotel, and all those ways, flint, or glass, or, you know, most commonly matches, all those ways are ways of creating a fire, and that is prohibited on Yom Tov. One may not light a fire. The reason is because there is nothing preventing one from going and transferring the fire from where it was. Certainly common practice, you see it in every Jewish home, especially in Chutz La'aretz, where there are 2 days Yom Tov, so to light Yom Tov candles, to light the licht for second day of Yom Tov, one must transfer the light, one must go and light the candles from an existing flame, because one may not light a match. And so very common that, 24-hour candles or Yahrzeit candles are used because that match needs to be transferred. The same thing is true. One may use a match, meaning a match like any other incendiary device. That in and of itself is not a problem, but one may not strike it in order to create the fire. One may use a match to transfer fire from an existing flame to the candle that you wish to light, but it is striking the match that is the problem. And again, the reason is because it could have been done before Yom Tov. Also, it is a type of prohibition called molid, or creating, and this is a rabbinic prohibition, and as we shall see further on, it is actually a rabbinic prohibition that is more strict on Yom Tov than it is on Shabbos, and therefore one may not do that. Okay, Sif Lamed Beis. Ein Osin Mugmar. One may not engage in the practice of Mugmar. Mugmar, Dainu, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is going to define it for us. Lefazer Minei Vesamim Al HaGecholim, to scatter types of spices or incense on coals, bein lehariach, be it to inhale the fragrance or the aroma, bein legamer et habayis o et hakelim, or to finish the house or the utensils. Basically, this is, again, it's an art that we no longer practice. It's something that is not in, you know, in routine for us. But back then, when they did in times of Gemara, when it was very common to have homemade clay items, then many homemade clay things require a smoking in order for them to be finished. Meaning there's like a final step there that they need to be finished or sort of like coated or absorb this, like, to be smoked out, and before that they were not considered finished. And so frequently, obviously as an entire art form, it was not just about just, you know, burning any old thing and having, you know, the utensil absorb that smoke, because if they would go and burn something pleasant smelling, like an incense or something like that, a spice, then obviously that smoke would be preferable to be absorbed in the utensil. And so that's basically what happens over here, is that they say that that is the practice of mugmar, to have a particular sweet smelling smoke, either just as incense to perfume the house, or as an actual finishing item. And the Kitz Shulchan Aruch says that one may not do so on Yom Tov, meaning that despite the fact that one may have a fire burning and one may even add things to the fire, right? Certainly, if I've got a fire going, a cooking fire, and I wish it to continue cooking, I may go and add more fuel to the fire. I can, you know, put another log there. That's fine. But I may not sprinkle, incense on top of it. I may not sprinkle all sorts of spices and things on top of the fire in order to elicit a fragrance, either because I wish to perfume the house or because I'm going and, making this finishing activity. Dichtiv. And the reason for this is, as it says in the Torah, l'chol nefesh. This is, as we've discussed, the major operating principle in permitting malacha on Yom Tov is ochel nefesh, is that which is required for a person, meaning davar hashaveh l'chol nefesh. That, uba'inan, davar hashaveh l'chol nefesh, and we require, says the Kitz Shulchan Aruch, something which is equal for all souls, meaning something which is a basic need, or it's an accepted need across the board. Aval mugmar einu nitzrach elo mefunakim umeunagim. But mugmar is something which is not necessary. It is only necessary for mefunakim, those who are particularly spoiled, meunagim, those who are particularly there's another form of spoiled. They're sort of like they're living large. They are very comfortable. And so requiring the burning of incense or requiring a pleasant aroma, that is not considered ochel nefesh. That is not considered something which is equal for all people, and therefore that malacha is not permitted. Now, I guess as a theoretical question, if there was an unpleasant odor, then it would be perhaps v'chol nefesh that you would want to mask that odor or perhaps get rid of it. But despite the fact that it may or may not be considered l'chol nefesh in this specific instance, Chazal did not make their gzeros by halves, meaning that since the concept of burning incense to elicit a fragrance is not a need, but rather it's something which is above and beyond, then they did not permit the burning of that on Yom Tov. Ubeinyan ishun hatiton, and regarding the smoking of titon, which you see here in parentheses, are cigarettes, cigariot. Nechleku haposkim. There is a machlokas haposkim. The Kitz Shulchan Aruch is kind enough, I guess, to bring the machlokas between multiple poskim. Zichronam levracha, may their memories be a blessing. And he seems basically to say that one could avoid it, one should not smoke on Yom Tov, there are those who are lenient. V'gam l'hamei kelim, but even for those who are lenient, tzrichim yizahar, one must be cautious. Shelo lahadlik b'niyar v'lo b'gacheles, that one should not light the cigarette with a scrap of paper or a coal. Mishum d'kshezorkan al ha'aretz, because when you throw them on the floor, na'aseh kibui, you basically put them out, right? Meaning that obviously this is an extension of the same issue, because lighting a cigarette is similar as a melacha to lighting the incense or whatever spices you're sprinkling on the fire. And despite the fact that the incense and the sprinkling is prohibited, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch does make an allowance and says there are those who are lenient and allow the smoking of cigarettes, but he cautions, make sure that you do not light the cigarette with a scrap of paper or with a some form of coal, because once you light the cigarette with that thing and then you toss it to the floor, that is an act of extinguishing. Extinguishing kibui, we know, is also malacha and also must be, one must be careful not to transgress that malacha on Yom Tov. Ubin nakel, and easily, yuchal litzos, la'asos kin gam b'Yom Tov. Kevin sheragil, la'asos kin b'chol. And, it is very easy to come by. A person could make a mistake and to also do this on Yom Tov, this meaning to toss out the match or the coal, since that is the custom that one does during the week. Meaning that, let's say, certainly those who smoke usually many cigarettes a day, and they have a routine, meaning it's like they go, flip the match, light the cigarette, flick of the wrist, extinguish the match out, and that's, that's like second nature. That's just sort of like the routine. That's just what the muscles do, almost without thinking. That obviously is a problem, because if one is going to light the cigarette on Yom Tov, then one must make sure not to extinguish the match or scrap of paper or gacheles or piece of coal or whatever it is that you're lighting the cigarette with. And certainly if that's your usual, mode of lighting a cigarette, then one must be especially careful. Ve'im ksuvim al hanayar osios bechtav al bitfus, and if there are written upon the paper letters within writing or printing, meaning perhaps if it's hand rolled, so maybe there was some sort of handwriting on the paper, or certainly much more common, you're talking about a commercial cigarette and has writing printed on the cigarette, v'hu sarfo, and one burns it, ika gam isur mechika, there is also additionally a prohibition of erasing, meaning the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that there are many things that one must watch out for, even according to those opinions who are lenient and permit the smoking of a cigarette on Yom Tov. One must make sure that A, do not engage in extinguishing, meaning that whatever you use to light the cigarette, make sure that you do not actively extinguish it, because that's a prohibition. Secondly, one must also make sure that the cigarette, that while the cigarette burns down, you do not erase, meaning that if, let's say the side of the cigarette says the Marlboro or whatever it is says, you can't burn down the cigarette until it burns those letters, because that is also a problem of erasing. Ela tzarich lehadlik mishel heves. Rather, one must light from a flame. Right? Meaning you sort of have to, lean the cigarette down into a flame, and that is a permissible form to light it. Vegam ein la'ashem mitoch kli. It says, additionally, one should not smoke from a utensil, mikteres, a pipe, right? Chadash, meaning one should not smoke from a new pipe. Gam asur lachtoch es hatiton b'yom tov. Also, one may not cut a cigarette on Yom Tov. V'nira dehu adin de'asur lahasir et hakatzos min cigarin. And it seems to be that it is also the case, it is also the halacha, that it is forbidden to cut the edge off a cigar. Right, so these are just a collection of smoking halachos here. And the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says that, listen, first of all, a new pipe one should not smoke in, because there's apparently a different flavor to smoking out of a used pipe or a well-used pipe than a new pipe. And so therefore, smoking from a new pipe is imbuing the flavor into it, very similar to the old mugmar discussion we had earlier. And so that's going to be prohibited, because in addition to the actual smoking, you're also fixing or finishing the utensil, and that's a malacha. And other malachos that come up when one deals with the cigarette question is one should not extinguish, one should not erase the letters, and also one should not cut the cigarette, because cutting a cigarette to size is a malacha. Cutting to size or to a particular thing, that's a malacha, and also cutting the edges off the cigar, clipping the cigar with those little guillotine things or whatever it is, that's also going to be a problem, because, again, that is an act which makes the cigar able to be used. It's like a finishing act there, and that is a malacha, and that is therefore prohibited. Okay. Sif Lamed Gimel. davar she'eino melacha gemura, something which is not a complete melacha. Ve'asur la'asoto b'Shabbos mishum refua l'chole, but it is nonetheless prohibited to perform it on Shabbos because it is a refua, it is something which will heal a sick person. She'ein bo sakana, but a sick person that is not in any danger of life and limb. Just a quick backtrack as an introduction to this idea. We know that there are many rabbinic prohibitions on Shabbos. We know the Torah prohibitions, obviously, those are the 39 melachos and their derivative activities. But the rabbinic prohibitions on Shabbos, there is one rabbinic prohibition called refuah, even though we know that it is a big mitzvah to take care of a person, and it is a big mitzvah for one to watch their health, and we certainly do anything we can in order to help a person regain their health if chas v'shalom there is an illness or an ailment. However, on Shabbos, one may not engage, you know, willy-nilly in activities of refuah, in activities to cure a person. One may not, loosely translated, one may not practice medicine on Shabbos. Obviously, major caveat, if something is a sakanas nefashos, if something is a suspicion that that there is a threat to life and limb, certainly a threat to life, that's the classic case, and even if there's the smallest suspicion that there is a threat to life, then not only is one permitted to be Mechal Shabbos, but it is a mitzvah. It is a mitzvah to be Mechal Shabbos, and one must engage in whatever life-saving procedures there are. One, you know, must not even hesitate, pick up the phone, call the emergency medical response, call a doctor, that is, you know, get in the car, drive to an emergency room. All those things are absolutely a mitzvah, and one should perform it. However, let's say there's not even any suspicion of a loss of life. We're talking about a regular, quote-unquote, ailment. Most common, let's talk about a headache, right? Somebody has a headache. Certainly, if it were not Shabbos, then, you know, one wouldn't really think twice. It's a headache, right? Certainly, you know, this does not cause any sort of great panic amongst people, right? It's a headache. A person is feeling perhaps unwell. It is something that they do not wish to, prolong, but there's certainly no question of life and limb. Such an idea, such a condition, may not be treated on Shabbos because practicing medicine, say Chazal, it is very likely to lead you to grinding up medicine. Right? Obviously, nowadays we don't usually make our own pills, and so perhaps the suspicion or the issue is less so, but certainly the gzeros of Chazal, when Chazal decreed a gzera, it absolutely stands. And also it is the case that when a person is engaging in the medicinal acts, then there are many malachos which definitely come up, not just grinding. Many malachos come up, and if one is sort of focused on practicing medicine and helping the person get better, one is not thinking about which malachos to avoid. And so therefore, as a general rule, on Shabbos or Yom Tov, one does not practice medicine if you're talking about a very trivial case, a case like a headache. So, with that introduction, which is very long-winded, I apologize, with that introduction, Sif Lamed Gimel, one of these type of activities, something which is not a malacha, something which is not a complete malacha, and it certainly would not be prohibited on Shabbos, except for the fact that it is a healing issue. So, as it says, Gam b'yom rishon shel yom tov v'kein b'shnei yom tov shel Rosh Hashanah asur la'asoso. Also on the first day of Yom Tov, and also on both days of Rosh Hashanah, one may not do it. Ki im ayidei goy. However, one may do it with a non-Jew. Meaning that, let's say for example, you're talking about taking pills. Right? So obviously this is not such a great example because nobody else really does that for you, right? One should not take pills for a regular common headache on Shabbos because that is a practicing of refuah, and the prohibition also stretches to Shabbos, to not just Shabbos but also first day Yom Tov and both days Rosh Hashanah. But if it's some sort of activity, like let's say having a physical therapist wrap a limb in an ace bandage, right? So, you know, it's particularly well-wrapped, and it's particularly supportive and things like that. Now, that perhaps one may not do on Shabbos or Yom Tov, but as he says, asur la'asot, so ki'im ha'yidei goy. But one may do it if it is a non-Jew, meaning if you have a non-Jewish physical therapist who is wrapping this for you. So even though the action is an action of refuah, he is practicing medicine, and obviously you can't have a non-Jew perform malacha for you on Shabbos or Yom Tov, but in this case, one may do it, right? We are lenient in this case. Aval b'Yom Tov sheni, but on second day Yom Tov, this is obviously in Chatzaret, with the parentheses here, excepting Rosh Hashanah, Chutz Mir Rosh Hashanah, both days Rosh Hashanah have the status of first day Yom Tov, but on second day Yom Tov, Muter la'asoso gamar yidei Yisrael. Says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, on the second day Yom Tov, we are lenient, and we allow such practice, even if the person performing the action is a Jew. Aval malacha gemura, however, a full malacha, right, something which is prohibited from the Torah, like, you know, turning on a light, or lighting a fire, or something like that, asur la'asos l'chola she'en bo sakana. It is prohibited to perform for a chola, for a person who is sick, she'en bo sakana, when there is no danger to life. Afil b'yom tov sheni, even on second day yom tov, ki'im al yidei goy. But one may perform such a thing by asking a non-Jew to do it, and in parentheses there he says, v'yesh la'asos she'las chacham, and one should ask a halachic authority. Very important to mention that obviously when you're talking about having a non-Jew perform halacha for you, even for the case of some sort of medicinal issue, it is very important to consult a local halachic authority with all the specifics of the case, because many cases are not as clear as they may seem, and it is a difficult concept in halacha and should be addressed as follows. Okay, that was Sif Lamed Gimel. Sif Lamed Dalet. Hotzah Mutar B'Yom Tov, Afilu Ma She'enu L'Tzeruch Ochal Nefesh. One may carry, right? On Yom Tov, one may carry Hotzah, literally taking out, talking about carrying from one domain to the next. Right? Certainly we're talking about a place where there's no Eruv, right? When there's an Eruv, so everything is considered the same domain, because that's what the Eruv does. Eruv means to mix together, right, or to join, and everything is considered one domain, and that's why you can carry. Just like there's no prohibition on Shabbos or Yom Tov to carry from, let's say, you know, my bedroom to my living room, because that's all my domain. I'm not taking it anywhere, right? But if, let's say, if the entire city is one Eruv, it's one domain, then, again, there's no issue. But let's say there's no Eruv. Let's say I'm in a place where there's no Eruv, so to go from inside my house to the street, that's carrying. That's forbidden. That is prohibited, because that is taken from one domain to the next. Now, on Yom Tov, says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, one is permitted to carry. One, not only is one permitted to carry, but you're not even restricted or required to limit your carrying to things you need for Ochel Nefesh. Right? But as long as there's some need, meaning that one may definitely, let's say one lives in an area where there's no Erev, one can take their sitter to shul on Yom Tov. No problem. You can carry it, no problem. Because even though, right, even something which is permitted only for Ochel Nefesh, right? But once it's permitted for Ochel Nefesh, it's permitted for all other needs. However, it has to be a real need. As the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch points out, Aval shelo l'tzeruch chal aser lahotzi. But if something is completely useless, there's no need for it whatsoever, then one may not take it, you know, just because one can. Ki im b'makom shemoter lahotzi b'Shabbos. The only time you're allowed to do that is if there's an Eruv. Pardon me. Meaning, if there's a place where a person would be allowed to carry it on Shabbos. V'gam l'tzeruch ochel nefesh. And also, even carrying for the case of Ochel Nefesh, even, you know, carrying or arranging or whatever it is that you're going to do, kagon kadayayin, like perhaps barrels of wine, lo yisam asagado, do not take a big burden, k'moshu asebechol, like one would do during the week. Meaning, like during the week, you would go and you would get a whole, you know, whole barrel of wine or a keg or I don't know what, meaning some large item that you're going to go and partake of, that you may not do on Yom Tov. Ela yeshana, rather one should do it a little differently. You know, one should take a smaller amount. It should be obvious that you're not transporting goods on Yontov, rather that you're just taking what you need for the day. V'im iyav shalashanos. And let's say one may not, you know, one can't do that. Kegon sheyesh laharbe ochem, right? Maybe you have a lot of guests. Osakadarko, then you should do it, you know, like you normally do. Meaning, let's say normally you come up from the grocery store and you've got, you know, a whole case of wine. So a case of wine is obviously, it's a big tircha, it's a big thing to carry. Even though one is allowed to carry on Yontov, there's no Erev issues, still one should not just carry a case of wine down the block for no reason, so to speak. However, let's say a person is hosting a very large meal and a full case of wine is required. So then, Oseh Kedarkos, then you do normal fashion, and that's fine. Okay. Siv Lamed Hey. Kol HaMelachos HaMotaris Lashos B'Yomtov. All the melachos which are permitted to perform on Yomtov. Zeu Davka L'Tzorech Adam. This is specifically and exclusively for the need of a person. Avalo L'Tzorech Behema. But not for the needs of your animal. Meaning that I can cook food for a person on Yontov, I may not cook food for an animal. Dichtiv, as the pasuk says, Ye'aseh lachem. Right? That which you need for ochel nefesh, Ye'aseh lachem. It should be for you. For you and not for animals. V'darshinan. And the Chazal darshan, they interpret, lachem, for you, v'lo l'behema, and not for an animal. V'lachen, and therefore, asur l'vashel, it is prohibited, it is forbidden to cook, o l'hotzi, or to carry from one domain to the next, is a davar l'tzorech behema, some item which is only in the need for an animal, k'mo v'shabbos, just like on Shabbos. Meaning that regarding your animal, you should consider it as if it's Shabbos. So all of the additional permissibilities, all the things which are permitted to do on Yontov, the extras which are permitted on Yontov, above and beyond what's permitted on Shabbos, that is only for a person, not for an animal. So we know that a person absolutely must feed their animals on Shabbos, right? You're not supposed to neglect your animals on Shabbos. But on Yontov, it is the same thing. Meaning, on Yontov, I may not cook food for my animal, if for some reason I have an animal that prefers cooked food, but rather, just like Shabbos, I have to cook food before and have the cooked food delivered. Let's say the animal is in, you know, some sort of barn or something where there is no Erev. I can't carry from the house to the barn. So then, you know, obviously I have to set it up in the barn before Shabbos. And then I can, you know, and then the animal has what to eat. The same thing is true on Yontov. One may not carry where there's no Erev for the sake of the animal. So one just should just be aware if one is, you know, I think much more common, instead of barns, much more common are things like, you know, perhaps cat food, dog food, things like that. If people have pets that they're caring for, so then one may not go and perform a melacha for the pet on Yontov, even if a similar melacha would be permitted for a person. Right? So rather, one should treat it like Shabbos, and therefore, you know, you won't come to make those mistakes. If lamed vav, asur levashel o leefot letzorech goy. It is prohibited, it is forbidden to cook or to bake for the needs of a non-Jew. This is, you know, along the same lines as we said earlier, it says lachem, for you, right? That which you need for ochel nefesh, that is for you. Obviously, we are not comparing at all a non-Jew and an animal, right? A non-Jew is a person, is a human being, they're a telem elokim, they are in the image of God. However, they also do not fall under the category of lachem, for you. When the pasuk says for you, it means for the Jewish people. And therefore, one may not cook or bake for a non-Jew. Ach, mi sheyesh lo mesharis goy. However, somebody who has a non-Jewish servant, or a non-Jewish, you know, somebody who works in their house, yachol lahosif levashel b'gdei ra'achos. You could add for them. Meaning, let's say you're cooking now for the entire family for Yom Tov. And so when you're, you know, deciding how much food to put in the pot, how much, you know, you're cooking for, so you can add for the local non-Jewish help. That's fine. Shia gam b'shvil ha-mesharis. That there should also be for the live-in, for the home nurse, or whatever, whoever it is that is a non-Jewish person that's part of your household. Aval b'shvil goy mechubad, but for a non-Jew which is very respected, asur afil osif, one may not even add. It's not because they're respected, but rather, if a person is like a non-Jewish servant, servant is a sort of outdated word, maybe like a live-in, home help, or be it a nurse, or somebody who's a caretaker, or be it somebody who's a domestic help. But basically, if somebody is part of your household who's a non-Jew, then adding towards the food budget that you're budgeting, how much food you're going to cook, that's fine, because there it is not actually you're not doing it noticeably. You're not making a very overt gesture that you are adding to the cooking because of the non-Jew. However, if there's, let's say, your non-Jewish boss, wants to come to dinner or something like that, so then you can't go and cook on Yom Tov and also serve your non-Jewish colleague or your non-Jewish boss, because they're considered an Adam Mechubad, they're a respected person, meaning that over there, it's not part of your household. You're doing something above and beyond, you're doing something extra. And therefore, since it's an explicit action of something extra that is prohibited, one may not do that on Yom Tov. Rather, one should treat it just like Shabbos and not perform any of the melachos of Yom Tov for that. Veloed, and not only that, Ela afilu im bishal Yisrael o afa bishvil atzmo, even if the Jew cooked or baked for himself, asur lahazmin goy she'ochal imo, it is forbidden to invite the non-Jew to eat with him. Meaning that if a Jew cooked or baked on Yom Tov itself, right? Meaning a Jew availed himself of the Yom Tov, leniency and cooked and baked on Yom Tov, one may not serve that to a non-Jew, because then retroactively you will have violated the injunction of lachem. It needs to be for you. V'ach goy she'ino mitkabed bo. However, a non-Jew that there is no, you are not. You are not honored by his presence, mutar latet lo eze davar mimah shebishel lo afa, one is permitted to give him that which is cooked, which was cooked or baked on Yom Tov. Vel efos pas, but baking bread, afilu b'shul goyim mishar so aser, even for a non-Jew, which is part of your household, that is forbidden. So essentially, the breakdown of doing malachos on Yom Tov for a non-Jew is like this. If one is doing it anyway for one's own household, and the non-Jew can be seen as part of the household, like a domestic help, a home care person, or somebody that is part of the household, then it is permitted, because you're not overtly doing something for someone who is not Jewish, and therefore not part of the injunction of Lachem. However, for somebody who is a non-Jew, which is not part of your household, or somebody who is an Adam Mechubad, somebody who is respected, meaning basically just anybody who is not considered, part of your household, that one may not have the Yom Tov strictures in effect, even if it's retroactive, meaning even if you cooked and baked for yourself and your family, and then suddenly you find out that your next-door neighbor, the non-Jew, wants to come and share a meal with you, one may not give them of that those items which were baked or cooked on Yom Tov. But obviously, anything which is baked or cooked prior, just like Shabbos, certainly does not fall into this prohibition. Final simon, Lamed Zayin. Lamed Zayin, Asur lehotzi shum davar b'shul goy, ki im b'makom shemoteh lehotzi b'Shabbos. It is prohibited or forbidden to carry or to take out from one domain to the next any item for a non-Jew, unless it is also a place that one may do it on Shabbos. Again, an extension of everything we've been saying, all of the melachos which are permitted on Yom Tov are only permitted ochel nefesh, something which is, across the board needed for all people, but also lachem, only that which is for you, for the Jewish people. One may not engage in those particular activities for a non-Jew. So if, let's say, I live in a place where there is no Erev, and I normally cannot carry on Shabbos from inside my house to outside my house, then when the non-Jewish neighbor says, hey, can I borrow a football? Says, no, I'm sorry, I can't take it out of my house for you. Right now, you can be neighborly and perhaps let the non-Jewish kid come into your house and take the football. There's nothing wrong with that. But one may not go and give it to them, because that would be carrying for the needs of the non-Jew. Obviously, if you live in a place where there is an Erev, where everything is considered one domain, so then there's no difference carrying for need of a Jew or a non-Jew. It is all the same, because it is a place where one may carry. That was Sif Lamed Zayin, and that was the conclusion of Siman Tzadi Ches, Siman 98.